How many saw the sold sign? Three of you. Four. Anybody else see the sold sign? Anybody else know what I'm talking about?
Was it out back?
It's always out front. Right on the very front. You, in order to see the driveway, you had to see the sign. If you didn't see the sign, it's probably a miracle that you made it in the driveway, Doug. I don't pray for you when you drive. I pray for everybody else that you're driving. It's the least I can do for you. But pray. If you don't have anything to pray for having to deal with landlords. Amen. So we have new ones, so that means there'll be a new contract negotiation. And just pray for the miracle. Amen. Let's look in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. I'm going to read to you today verses 26 through 29. Verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 1. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I just want to remind you of something today. I think at times we forget what our rights are and what our place is in God. But in verse 26, he said, you see your calling. So he talks about a calling and he mentions the brethren, which the cistern are in with the brethren, in case you didn't know. Brethren and cistern. But that word calling there, it means an invitation. Or it means that there's been a call as an invitation. And it's a divine invitation to embrace salvation in the kingdom of God. Not in a denomination or some group, religious group. But it said that it is made especially through the preaching of the gospel. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but the word has power and life in it. Amen. It's so powerful it can draw a man or a woman out of deep sin. And I've seen some of them in deep sin. But they heard the preaching of the gospel and it was more powerful than what they were in. I think I told you, did I tell you about the man that the devil come into his house and he was a devil worshiper? At that moment, all the preaching that he had heard came true. He'd mocked it. He'd disobeyed it. He'd went away from it. He said it wasn't for them. He said it was for somebody else but him. But he was sitting there and he had a tiny little trailer. And he was going through all the incantations and lighting of the candles and ringing of the bells and all the things that they do to bring the spirits in from the spirit world. And the devil walked in. And he said he saw the devil. He said, at that moment, I gave my life to Jesus. And he said at that moment, he told the devil to get out of his house and get out of his life and to leave him alone because he was going to serve God. How many of you know that's a long way to go to get salvation? But that's what it takes for some people. But you see, he had heard, he had been witness to, he had been told things in the Word, preached sermons to. Every once in a while, they'd convince him to go to church and he'd go. And finally, it all came real when the counterpart to our truth came in and stood in his living room. This calling that we're talking about here will change your life. But sometimes people slip back into the old life. And he said in this calling that comes through the preaching of the gospel, it's been heard, it's been received, and it opens the heart and the spirit of a man, and it ushers in the entrance into divine life. People wonder how you get there where God has an effect on your life. They struggle with things of life, and they struggle to know God. But through the preaching of the gospel, all of that begins to dissipate in their life, and they come into a divine life. They come into something where they feel they've been separated out from the things that has been their life. The conditions begin to change. The spirit of the person begins to change. The natural life becomes a spiritual life, and that spiritual life began to be lived in this natural world, and they have power to live a spiritual life, and the things of the world don't overcome them and don't tear down at their life. In fact, it's a challenge or it's an encouragement that they're going the right way. If you want to know you're going the right way, if you hit problems, that means you're going against the devil. I would be unsure if everything was perfect and going well and you had all the money and all the possessions and all the things that you wanted. It can do anything you wanted. You might be going the wrong way. If you're not against him, the only other option is to be for him. But he said, those that are called, he said, it's to those that hear the word. And he said, not many mighty or wise men after the flesh, or not many mighty or not many noble are called. And those are the ones that they get all their strength and all their satisfaction and all their direction is set outside of what God has for their life. He said, not many of them get called, because they have a distraction in their life where they're pressing their own way and setting their own direction and setting their own benefits and their own relative wealth to their life and their own ease. If they can get their own ease, it's hard to convince them they need God. How many has ever talked to somebody like that? They get and they're all set in their life and you're trying to tell them about the Lord and they don't need him because they got everything they want. What do I need God for? Because in their opinion, if you get God and you've got everything, that means you got to give everything up. You know, some people preach it that way. I knew a man that was a millionaire and didn't need God. His relatives witnessed to him. His relatives tried to talk to him every time they gathered together about the Lord and that he needed the Lord in his life. He said, what do I need God for? He says, I'm a millionaire. And in one day, he lost it all. The stock market turned, and he lost everything that he had. He was a pauper at the end of the day. All of his investments that he could brag about, that he had been wise about, that he had been mighty, and he knew how to get ahead in the stock market, all of that came crumbling and crashing down at his feet. And all of the witnessing and the preaching that he had heard came running back into his heart and flooded him. And God began to speak to him and said, I've been waiting for you. I have talked to you. I have spoken to you. I have influenced you, and you've turned away. But he said, at this moment, all of it came back, and God come flooding into his heart, and he received the Lord, and he found a peace that he never found in all of his millions. And when he confirmed that, and when he started living that life, that God was most important to him, all of the wealth came back, but it didn't mean anything to him. What meant something to him is what he had received of God. He was the called now instead of a millionaire. And as the called, we have benefits in our life that we are not taking a hold of or letting it be exercised in our life. He said, God has, in verse 27, God chose the foolish things. God chose. When God had the power to make a choice, he didn't choose the wise men, the mighty men, and the nobles. He chose the foolish, and those that were weak, and those that were base, and those that were in despair in their life. When God says, if I get a chance to make a choice, this is my choice. That point in 2001, it was not very easy. And I made the decision. Said, God, you have more for me than making money. Anybody can make money. And so we made the commitment and we started looking at houses. First we started in Genesee where we weren't just as very faithful and very unafraid at that moment. We thought, well, we can get halfway between Lewiston and Moscow. We'll compromise. And the Lord just spoke to us all the way. Go all the way to Moscow. Go all the way in and buy a house. And we went in and we bought a house and we're still living in that house today. But we had to lay down roots somewhere because there was something that God had spoken in our hearts through his word that made us not want to quit what God had given us to do, but yet get more involved and let God make himself a witness to our life. And I'll tell you, that decision has brought a lot of learning experiences. A doctorate degree does not describe what we have learned, because you go a certain amount of time and you get your doctorate degree, and then that's it. All you can do is go get another doctorate degree. But we went beyond and got a divine degree of God because we wanted God in our life and we wanted things to happen. I didn't want to rest where we were. I wanted more of God. I wanted God to be more of a reality to my life and to whatever I chose for my life to do. I said I chose, but actually God chose me. I argued with him for quite some time. He was trying to call me into the ministry, and I kept saying, nope, you're talking to the wrong guy. I got too many problems. I'm too weak. This is before Kelly and I were married. I said, you're looking in the wrong place. How many know that was foolish of me to talk to God that way? But see, God says, no, I chose the fool. I bypassed all these that had a pedigree where they should have been the leader. And I went to a fool who's arguing with me, and I'm going to make a leader out of him so that my name was glorified and my name was lifted up, because everybody that knows him and knows how he is going to see the change that I'm going to make in him, whether he wants it changed or whether he doesn't. It's going to happen because he's my chosen. He's my called. And so are you. And you're not to rest where you are today. You say, well, I like where I'm at. That's not the best place for you. God has something better for you. He has new horizons. He has new experiences. You know, some people, I've watched, they just come and they just sit in church. What are they going to talk about when they get to heaven? What's your story? Well, I sat on the second row on the right on the end. That's it? Yeah, nothing happened after that. I came into the church and I just sat. I bought my chair. And that's my testimony. I was there every service. In the second row, on the end chair. What a testimony. But God has experiences for you that you haven't even dreamed of. Because the called are not called to just sit and do nothing in the church. God's got a life experience for you that's going to wake you up, that's going to cause you to be excited about life, that's going to cause you to have an experience where you begin to say, I don't have enough. You go through the trial and you get the victory over it and you go, boy, that feels a whole lot better. I need more of this victory. God says, okay, I'll send you through some more trials. I'll get you so overwhelmed with victory, you won't even be afraid of the trial. Hallelujah. But God, he's talking, you know, Paul is talking here to the Corinthian church. You see your calling. The way you were called, the way you were dealt with. You don't see other people living like that. You don't see them sacrificing like you do. You don't see them on Sunday morning sitting here. They're at home taking care of a hangover. And you're in church listening to somebody preach more life to you. Hallelujah. You see your calling. Do you see for your life? Have you forgotten the reason that you even got saved and you even got called out of the world? Do you see that God has more for you? You know, my calling, I look at it when things get tough. Say, God, you called me, but you didn't call me to fail. You called me to overcome. You called me to be a success. You called me to see and to know you and to walk in you in a world that doesn't believe you and to be contrary to the world so that you could show through me or through your life that God is real and God is alive and God has power and it rests in you. It's great that you got saved and sit on the second chair on the end, but you need to do something to expand what you do. Let God make you grow. How many know if things aren't growing, that's not good? Huh? You know, if you fed your animal, whether it's a cat or a dog or a cow or a goat, and you fed them very well and they didn't gain any weight, you'd take them to a doctor, to a veterinarian, wouldn't you? What's wrong with them? I feed them like a horse and it's a cat and they're not gaining any weight. I don't understand what's wrong with them. They're just frail. You know, you come to this church and I will tell you, I know a preacher that feeds you. And if you're being fed and you're receiving it, you will grow. If we don't, there's something wrong. There's something that needs fixed. Amen? I'll take the word wrong off of you and say fixed. All right, listen. He said, God has chosen, verse 27, the foolish things of the world to confound. God chooses you to confound. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not confront, not conflict, confound. What? The thing that you can't attain to. The thing that has more power than you. I took the foolish to confound the wise. I will take somebody that knows nothing and I will work in them to a point where the wise are confounded. Let me bring this out what this means. Whenever he talks about the foolish, it means a person that's without learning or without the quality to have or to show great knowledge. That's the foolish. And if you say we're going to be world changers and we're going to change the environment around our life and we're going to see the power of God work in our life, he said, I chose those that had nothing, didn't have the ability. How many, when you came in, you knew all about God? But along the way now, you've learned, haven't you? And it's elevated your life. Whenever you deal with people, they see the Christian character come out in you. And they, you know, you can talk to judges and you can talk to lawyers. And when God's in you, people will listen to you. Amen. You can talk to law enforcement officers. You can talk to police chief. I talk to the police chief every once in a while. I talk to judges. And you say things and they go, you know more than what most people know. Where did this come from? Did you go to school? No, didn't go to school. Well, how did all this happen? Well, I was just really foolish and didn't know anything. I didn't have the ability to get ahead. I didn't have the ability to make myself something in life. And God came and got a hold of my life. You see, they ask you why, and you get an opportunity to tell them. Amen? I was sitting in my doctor's office several months back just for a regular checkup, and something was just on my heart when I went in to see him. And so he was talking and mentioning things, and this thing that was on my heart, I said, so, and I began to tell him. He just looked at me and didn't say anything. I said, did I just teach you something? He looked down and goes, yes. He didn't like it that I didn't have a doctor's degree, but yet I told him something about what he knew, but only it was in a different light that he didn't know. The reason that I'm bringing this out to you today is so many times we diminish our effect in life. We diminish ourselves to the point where we don't receive the abundance and the things that are over and above what most people have. We'll come a little ways out of being foolish, but we won't get very far because we're afraid. I talk to all kinds of people. I talk to all kinds of professionals. And when I talk to them, at times I make sense to them. At times they do what I say. We had a carpenter come in and make us a kitchen, one cabinet at a time. That's a song we need to get a tune to. As you get the money, one cabinet. So he just come in, he's just talking away and blah, 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 blah. And you like to hear himself talk. And he talked real loud. He's a nice guy. He's a Christian. But he talks loud. So we're talking to him about the kitchen. And Kelly says, well, I want this here. Oh, that's not going to work. Yeah, let me show you. She goes, here, let me show you Rick's drawings. He drew the whole kitchen. So she walks over and said, see, this is how it fits here. This is the whole kitchen. Drew out the measurements and everything. He's looking at it and he goes, can I have this drawing? He made all of our cabinets on her mind, her thinking, her imagination, and my drawings. He had a difficult part where there was a corner. We got a black walnut countertop. And he couldn't figure out how to make the corner. He said, man, this is going to take a long time and walls are uneven and just blah, 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 blah. And I'm not going to get that angle cut in there just right. And I said, well, why don't you do this? I said, why don't you come this way into the corner and have a general line and have this one stop here. And then this one butts up against it like that. I said, so they just butt against one another all the way up. I said, it'll look great. Yeah. He come down, he got it all done. He said, you see how I did that? Don't take yourself to be a fool. God's ready to give you an experience in life that makes you understand and makes you see things that, you know, I've given you these practical examples, but really there's people out there that need people that have an understanding of wisdom and the things of God to help people. Amen? Don't stay in the foolish realm. Don't feel like you can't. Let God begin to work in you and receive your rights as the called. If you aren't very on top of everything, you are in the right place and ready for God to do something for you. Hallelujah. And he mentions that God has chosen the weak things. And the weak things is this. It means to be destitute of power among men. You say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor Rick. I want to tell you, Every person I've ever had to deal with the city or with this building, I said, God, you got to show me what to say, when to say, how to say it, because they got the advantage, they got the money, they got the all these things are their advantage, and they can tell me what to do, and they can take advantage of me, and they can make it hard on this church. But I say, I tell God, God, you know the way through this, and you know what to make me do, and what to make me say, and what to make me think. Because I have no power to tell somebody what to do when they're my landlord. I can tell them, and they just say, nope. Last contract we signed, there's things in my contract that's not in anybody else's contract. I said, you can't do that. We're doing it. You don't like it? Get out. And I thought, you would be unfair to me so that 50 to 60 families are going to be uprooted and that you care nothing for. So I accepted it and I said, God, these people have just made you their enemy, and you're going to deal with them. The weak are going to confound the mighty. You see, what I'm telling you here is that God has ways of taking you and increasing your influence and increasing your stature in life, making a way where you wouldn't have a way, going a direction that you could not get to yourself, going and succeeding where people said that wasn't going to work, that isn't going to take place, that's not going to happen. And we sit here and we say, well, I guess this is just my lot in life. I guess this is just the way it's going to be. I want to tell you right now, no. The foolish and the weak he chose, he selected, he called out. He made them to be a part of what he's doing. He called them out and he said, I'm going to speak the word to you through preaching, and it's going to change your life, and it's going to give you ideas, and it's going to cause you to think a certain way. You know, when you receive the word instead of the garbage of the world, you'll think differently. Your mind will think differently. It'll be quicker to hear and to say the things that God wants you to say to get your way. Amen. We're the weak. We're the foolish. But listen, you and I, God has chosen to confound. And that means to shame down or to disgrace or put to blush. In other words, when people have judged you and said, you're only going to accomplish this, God says, no, I've called them. I've chosen them, and you look at them as weak, and you look at them as foolish, and they're not going to accomplish anything. But he said, I'm going to set my favor on your life, and by my power, I'm going to change and transform you, and I'm going to put you ahead. And everybody that said you couldn't is going to be disgraced and ashamed of the words that they spoke against you that said you couldn't. And I want to tell you, Kathy, he's going to turn your business around. Because there's been some that spoke against your business. It wasn't going to make it. You see, it made you weak and it made you feel foolish that you couldn't make it go where you wanted it to. But God chose you. And God's going to make you to know a way to make that thing prosper. Because your heart is right in it. And God has seen your heart and the way you do it and the way you treat people and the way you put in the extra effort to help people, and God's not going to forget your labors of love. You don't do it just for the money. There's a lot of love mixed in with it. Hallelujah. That's part of being the foolish and the weak. People say you can't, but God says, I'm going to confound them. I'm going to show them you're going to make it. I've watched people come into church and other people say they'll never make it. I was one of those people. They'll never make it. There were people who said our marriage would never make it. He'll crush her in a year or two. 39 years later, their words have been put to shame. You were wrong. Hallelujah. This church is going nowhere, according to a lot of people's description. too many problems, too many downfalls, too many things working against him. Yes, I am a fool, and yes, I am weak. Now God can confound him by what he does in this church. You know, he's just too straight and people won't go there. When the miracles start happening and people start getting transformed, they'll be dying to get in here. But you see, I haven't adopted ways to soothe them to get into the church, to persuade them. I've stuck to preaching the word because when they get here, they need the word and they need the power of it in their life. Amen? Hallelujah. Whatever you've been facing that isn't working, count it today that God's going to confound what makes it not work and he's going to make it to work. You're hearing the gospel. You're hearing the word. You're hearing life for your life. You're hearing what God is speaking to you. Take it, receive it, get a hold of it, memorize it. Get it in your mind. You know, you don't have to buy the CD if you don't want to. You can listen to it on the internet for free. It's only on there for a limited time. But you can listen to it again until you get it. Amen. Hallelujah. You're really quiet this morning. I must be in another church. He raises up the low and the humble to show his power is the highest that can be employed and witnessed in this world. In comparison between us and the world, they think we lose. They think we can't. They think we won't. They think it's impossible. But God chose and called you. Hallelujah. God's not going to continue or let you be embarrassed because he called you. It's his doing. It's his inviting you. It's his pulling you out of the world. Do you think God wants a ship of fools that they can't do anything, they can't go any direction, but somewhere something has to happen and your life has to turn around, and those that have mocked you and those that have degraded you for serving God, God says, I'm going to put them to shame. If they've used words against you and told you you were done and you were only going to go to a certain point in your life and that was it, God says, no, I chose them, and they're going to be confounded. The tough time that you're facing, the not knowing that you have, the dealing with the unknown and wondering where it's going to end up that you've been going through, God says, I'm going to take that off of you and I'm going to cast it on those that have caused that in you. I was here praying earlier in the week and I was just praying about a bunch of different things, and the Lord just spoke to me very differently. But he just spoke and said, I'm going to bless. I said, oh, thank God. I know enough when I hear God, I know it's God. And he said, I'm going to bless. And so for about 30 seconds to a minute, I just praised him and thanked him for it. And I went on praying for you and for the different things that we face. And he came again the second time. And he said, I am going to bless. And I don't claim it just for me. I claim it for this church. He didn't say bless financially, bless in your health, bless in where you are, bless in what you have. He just said, I'm going to bless. And he left it open. I've had God tell me, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to heal you. I'm going to bless you and I'm going to cause your finances to increase. I've never had God tell me I'm going to bless. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something that people are going to say, you, your church, let the confounding begin on their side. You see, them being confounded is our having things happen that God created and caused. How many want them to be confounded? Okay. What you're saying is, I'm going to get what God says I'm going to get. I'm going to be blessed. Well, I wonder where God's going to bless me. What do you do? What do you do? Where do you go? What do you have? Are you blessed when you can't pay your bills? No. Well, maybe God says, I'm going to make you pay your bills. Are you blessed in your health when you're suffering all the time? No, you're not. Bless you with a miracle healing. Are you struggling in your marriage? Things aren't going right. Things aren't going the right direction. Is it a blessing? No, it's a lot less than that. He's going to bless. Peace is going to come. You're going to find your way together. You're going to be stronger than you ever have been in your life. He's going to bless. You know, you need to get that in your mind, that when you walk out of here today and you go home and you start going through your life and something hits you, you just need to say, God is going to bless. Because we look at things that hit our life and we accept it. Well, this is my life for a while. No, God is going to bless. How? That's His department, not yours. Amen? He is going to bless. You see, the foolish and the weak and the base and the despised, He chose to confound. The base is this. You have no reason to be able to even be heard. You are a low person without any rights or acknowledgement in your life. You are insignificant in your life. That's what base means. You are insignificant. But He said, I chose those people to confound. And those that are despised are those that have carried shame, those that have carried issues where people could look at them and blame them for stuff and accuse them of stuff and put labels on them. They are chosen to confound. Say, well, I don't know if I can get out of this place of being despised. I got too many relatives. Yeah. I said, that was a little hard to swallow, wasn't it, David? He kind of choked on that one a little bit. How many's ever been despised by your relatives because you're trying to live for God? But God says, I'm going to confound them. There's people that they come into church and they're broke down and they're out of society's mainstream and they've had issues and problems in their life and they haven't been able to overcome and they've been run by Christians here and there and run over by churches and, you know, we don't want your kind here and we don't like how you are and where you're at in life. We don't like any of it. Okay, God's going to confound them. He's going to put honor on your life. You know, there's some people, their head's always down because they carry all that on their life because of what people put on them. God says, I'm going to stop the confounding on your part and put the confounding on their part. And it's only God that can do it. He is going to bless. I'm having a bad day, Pastor Rick. He is going to bless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, He will make things come your way. He will make blessings come your way. You're sitting there thinking, you know, I'm getting up to the age where I start thinking about maybe I need to sell my house. I'm there. You get that way when you get older, don't you, Kathy? Yeah. You've got a long ways to go, though. But I'll tell you what. God could cause somebody to come by and say, you know, I love your house, and I don't want to mess with real estate agents. And if you'll just get a lawyer, and we'll do this deal, and I'll give you X amount of money, and it'll be full list price if you were to put it on the market, except you have to give, 6% to the real estate agent? you get that 6%. I'm telling you, God can make things happen for you. God can confound what's been making you struggle in your life. Amen. You know, people, sometimes they struggle with automobiles. They just can't get one that'll work and run. It costs them too much. But at some point, God could cause that to change in your life. I remember we used to drive things that were sketchy. We had in-town cars and we didn't have any out-of-town cars. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? How many know what an in-town car is? All right. I had a few of those. But there just came a day, and I cannot put my finger on it because I wasn't making any more money. Things didn't change financially for me. But we walked in, and we'd had those in-town cars, and we walked into, they had a big auto show down in the Lewiston Fair building. Walked in there, and the guy goes, "What are you looking for?" And I said, "Well, we can't really afford anything." "Well, what are you looking for?" Never met him before, Jay Greer. And he just took an instant liking to us and said, "Well, come on over here." Got me a little Honda Civic LX, power windows, 5-speed transmission, cloth seats, air conditioning. And he put us in that car. And we walked in there. We were just like, you know, you can say you're going in and dreaming, but we were mad dreaming because we knew the dream wasn't going to work out. So we're just mad about it. How many has ever gone in and knowing you can't and you're just frustrated that you can't? You should have never went in there. But God changed that. Hallelujah. I don't care what's not worked. I don't care how it's gone wrong. I don't care what's been wrong. I don't care what is, and it seems like it's never going to change. As the called, you have a right for God to confound what has been confounding you. When you got to drive those in-town cars, you try not to drive them in the daylight as much as possible, because you don't want anybody to see you in the car. But God, He is going to bless. Hallelujah. 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 You need to understand that there are breakthroughs coming in your life. God is just going to turn things a different direction, and it's going to be the direction where you get blessed. Where you start receiving what you need for your life instead of walking around wondering where it's going to come from, walking around wondering what's going to happen to your kids, walking around wondering what's going to happen to your family, what's going to happen to your house, what's going to, you know, all these things. How many know there's a lot of things we can just talk about today? But it's just all things that are confounding you. You know, it's things that when they talk about, it's embarrassing for them to talk about. This is where I'm at in life. Well, you shouldn't be there. You're 65 years old. I know, but I just got here and I don't know how to get out of here. It's embarrassing to you. God said, I'm going to make what has embarrassed and shamed you turn on itself, and it's going to go away and it's going to leave your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And only God can. Do you see your calling? You've been chosen. You've been pulled out of the world, separated out of the world. Do you see your calling? That you have a right to have what's been confounding you be confounded and go away and be put to shame. You know, I've had bill collectors call me over the years, and you know, there was a point in time where, I mean, we were paying and paying and paying, and they'd call and they'd say, "You need to pay more." I said, "I have 10 people that I'm paying $250 a month to, and you want more?" I said, "This is what I make. I don't even hardly make anything." That's too bad for you. They can be heartless. I'm not going to ask who's talked to them, but I'll tell you what, they are heartless. But you see, they were trying to put shame on me. And all of my bills hadn't come from being foolish with money. It had just come through unforeseen circumstances that we couldn't get rid of, we couldn't get out of. It happened, we're stuck with it, it's not going to go away. But after talking to that person, God would change our finances and we would pay him the more and still be able to live. They had me in a corner. But it was like my big brother when I was a little kid. All I had to do was call his name, and the one that had me in the corner beating me down to the ground got ripped off and beat to smithereens. You see, do you see your calling? You are something and someone that means something to God. He is very cognizant about what your witness is. He is very cognizant about what happens to you. He sees it. He hears it. He knows what you're going through. And he says, enough is enough. And the day comes and it turns. And I'm telling you, the day has come. He is going to bless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. The word has power above you. When you talk about your problems, you frame it, you put its existence in your life, you give it its boundaries, you give it its power, its authority over your life. But when God starts talking, all of that that came in that you had no power against, you were destitute of power, you were in weakness in your life, God says, I'm going to turn it because I've chosen you and I'm going to confound now. I'm acting. I'm doing. I didn't get a chance to finish this message. I'll finish it next week. But I want to tell you, God is going to move for you. Are you foolish? Are you weak? Are you base? You know, a baseless person, it even means without a family. I mean, well, that's a pretty lonely feeling without a family. Nobody to help him, nobody to call. You know, Brad was just in this accident. What's he do? He calls because he's got family. And it helped ease his trouble. But you see, God says, I've seen those that had nobody to call and nobody to turn to help them. And he says, I'm going to confound what's been confounding them. And I'm going to turn it another direction. I'm going to turn it my way, finally. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray as we're dismissed today. I want you to get a hold of this word. Don't forget it. Listen to it on the website. Get the CD. Whatever you've got to do, get this in to your mind and your spirit because God's trying to do something for you. Hallelujah. Let's pray today. Father, we thank you for the power of your word to turn our enemies away from us, for the power of your word to make us to come into a place of being blessed, that we can cast off a life of failure. We can cast off the life where we've had no one to turn to for help. We can cast off the life where we've had no power over our circumstances. We can cast off the life where we couldn't be elevated in life because we didn't have what it took to know and to understand and have the mind to succeed. Now God, you're going to confound all of those things. And you're going to turn them away from these people. And you're going to cause these people to be drawn into your presence and to know you in the fullness of your power and your authority over their life. Lord, we see our calling. We see what you want to do for us. We see where we have been, but your calling is from a higher place. Your calling is not the calling of this world, but it's a divine calling where you're ready to change men and women's lives. Change the dynamics of families. Change people in the way that they go and how they go. And Lord, most of all, bless their life in every circumstance, in every avenue, in every hour that the enemy comes or the trials come or the problems come. Bless them and turn it away from their house and away from their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you as you go today.